the people running San Francisco's food pantries are taking care of the people in their community. Around the Bay Area, other people are caring for the plants, animals, and ecosystems that make this place what it is. Today, we begin our series of conversations with the Bay's 2012 Environmental Heroes. They earned that title from the Bay Nature Institute. The Berkeley-based organization named Ellie Cohen as Conservation Advocate of the Year. Cohen is president of PRBO, which was originally the Point Reyes Bird Observatory. I sat down with Cohen to talk about her work.
We have actually measured changes in the response of birds in the spring and in the fall. So when they return from migration, the dates that they're returning have changed. Mostly it's in the spring, they're coming earlier, and those that come in the fall to overwinter here are coming earlier, but some are coming later. But we do have statistically significant changes in these arrival dates, both in the spring and in the fall, for a majority of birds that we study in Central California.
What's the significance of that? I mean, can't we just sort of change the calendar to accommodate that?
I wish we could, but unfortunately, these species are tied to a complex ecosystem. Their food sources, for example, if it has to do with seeds from a plant and when it flowers and then when it makes seed, or from insects and when they emerge, such as butterflies, if those are emerging at different times or available at different times and when the birds need them and how they've been timed over millennia, then it could have big impacts on populations. Another major impact that we've seen here in the Bay Area is related to extreme weather events. In May of 2008, you might recall, we had 100-degree temperatures here in San Francisco, highly unusual for that time of year. Normally, we would have heavy, thick fog. Birds on Alcatraz, breeding seabirds on Alcatraz and on the Farallon Islands that nest in open nests, colonial nesters, we call them, they had to get off the nest, the adults, because it got so hot and chicks just died on the nest from heat exhaustion. And we fortunately have solutions to this as well, where we have artificial nest boxes that essentially we've created to help improve the success rate of reproduction of these birds on the Farallons. We built them, and the birds are in them during the daytime. They're birds that go out in the evening to forage for food, and they spend the day in these boxes. In the boxes got too hot during this heat wave in May of 2008. Since then, we've looked at these artificial nest boxes and tried to identify ways that we could cool the boxes down and still support the growth of these populations. And what we've done is added an additional thin layer of plywood, just painted white, that has created a slight circulation of air above the nest box and kept the temperatures cooler in the boxes themselves.
That's a really interesting way of humans adapting, helping nature adapt to climate change. What's another way that you know of that nature is sort of being changed to make up for the changes in the environment here?
One way is, for example, to address sea level rise impacts on tidal marsh habitats around San Francisco Bay. We're looking at what are the priority areas for restoration of tidal marsh and designing and building the tidal marshes to help withstand the onslaught of sea level rise, not only for the many different species that depend on tidal marsh, like birds and fisheries, but also for people and for human infrastructure. If you drive around the bay, you'll see how our freeways are all along the edge of the bay. Parking lots, buildings, and other human infrastructure. We can use tidal marshes to help slow down the impact of sea level rise.
It's an interesting balance, I think, between environmentalism and development, because development is really keen on being close to water. I mean, that's why so many population centers are there. But you have to accommodate for that then.
You do. We still need fresh air. We still need water. We still need food that comes from nature, whether it's fisheries or fiber and from the forest, whatever it might be. We need nature to survive, whether we live in San Francisco or live in the jungle in the Amazon. And we can use nature to help address the problems of climate change, as I just discussed, to slow down the impacts of sea level rise. But we can also use it to sequester carbon from the atmosphere. Tidal marshes are very good at sequestering carbon, not just forests. Forests are very important. We can sequester carbon in soils. How we manage cattle on grazing lands throughout California can make a big difference in how much carbon is sequestered and also how much water is absorbed into the underground water table so that we can withstand periods like we've had the last few months of basically no rain, which is expected to occur more and more often into a climate-changed future.
That's Ellie Cohen. She's president and CEO of PRBL Conservation Science and co-founder and chair of the Bay Area Ecosystem Climate Change Consortium. You work with a lot of businesses, pay attention to a lot of politics in these roles. I'm wondering if you could tell me about any businesses that are doing a good job of being aware of their impact on the environment, or maybe even making a positive difference, not just not making a negative difference.
We work with many rice growers in the Central Valley. And ironically, one would think that rice growers are problematic in a place where we don't have a lot of water.
Well, I've heard that actually from some people that they find it really an unnatural crop to grow because it flood the fields and there isn't the water to do it.
If we look at California over the past 200 to 300 years, we've essentially drained the wetlands that were most of the Central Valley and most of the Central Coast even. And so it goes against what we think is nature and what's natural, but we have so altered the environment that we need to look at man-made design solutions to make the environment work for people and for wildlife. In the Central Valley, that's true as well. John Muir wrote about rowing down from Sacramento to Bakersfield. That's obviously not possible today. It was one huge wetland all winter long. Today, it's all agriculture. And what we're looking to do is to work with agribusiness and to make it eco-friendly. And so even with the rice growers, where they are needing water for the rice, we've been able to work with them to ensure that the rice fields are used for migratory birds because these wetlands, these shallow water wetlands, basically don't exist otherwise in the valley except in managed areas for waterfowl. So we have a huge benefit both in producing rice, but also for the birds themselves.
Are you finding that a lot of growers are cooperative with you in trying to find such solutions?
Yes. In fact, we've been able to build relationships with many growers. Oftentimes, the first words that come out of our mouths are not about the problems of climate change. It's trying to find what do we have in common. We need water. Let's talk about how to put water on the soil where we can have a win-win solution.
Well, what would you suggest regular people in the Bay Area do, like just your average person walking down the street who goes about living their life, but they want to make some kind of a positive change? What would you suggest for them?
The biggest single thing we can do in the United States to reduce greenhouse gas emissions is on a big scale, society-wise, is to get rid of coal-fired plants and to switch to renewable energy. And so however we can support that from wherever we sit, that will be the fastest way to move us to a cleaner and safer future. On a personal level, energy efficiency is the single fastest way for us to reduce our greenhouse gas footprint. And that means that wherever we are in our homes, in our workplaces, in our places of worship, in our schools, that we take action to make those buildings more energy efficient. Even if we're not using renewable energy, that we can use significantly less energy than we are using today.